Welcome to Goddesses Unite podcast. Today, we're really, really lucky to have Geraldine come back on with us. So Geraldine's the foodie pharmacist. And today she's come on to talk to us a little bit about aging and how what we eat and what we do on the inside reflects on the outside. So thank you so much for coming and joining us today, Geraldine.
My pleasure, Susan. Thank you for inviting me.
It's funny because we spoke about this, we touched on it slightly after the last podcast, and what we were talking about was how, especially women in general, will spend an absolute fortune on products and bits and pieces, you know, the latest fad. You know, if someone bought out, you know, a pile of dog poop and said if you rolled in it for 10 minutes every day for 10 days, you'll look 10 years younger. Everyone would spend thousands of dollars on the pile of dog poop, because we're all trying to turn back the clock. We all want to feel younger. And I guess by looking in the mirror and looking younger, we feel younger, but we actually don't, because we can spend a fortune on the outside. And yet it really comes from inside of us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Suppose, you know, on the outside is a reflection. So on our skin, what we see on the outside is a reflection of the most obvious reflection of our age. So obviously that's what we focus on. But that wrinkles and the aging and process on your skin actually does reflect what is actually happening on the inside as well. So you can put a lot of products on the outside, and there are some really good products out there which can improve things on the outside. But again, I'd like to remind everyone that your body shows signs of something not quite right by, you know, obviously giving you these signals. So the wrinkled skin or, you know, those sort of aging signs are a reflection of what's happening inside. So again, it's listening to your body about all these signs and symptoms. That is, don't put a band-aid over it, don't mask it, deal with what's happening deep at a deeper level. So it's your body's way of saying, again, you know, do something about it, I'm giving you a sign. Going back to that, it's a sign that your cells are struggling, aging on the inside, which is then a reflection of what's on the outside. It's not just about the skin and wrinkles, you know. Besides that, aging can mean a lot of other things as well. So when you age, cognitive impairment, that is huge, you know, your memory, your focus, you know, the old saying, oh, I'm getting old, I'm forgetting all these things, you know, but it is the reflection of that aging. So inside your cells aging when you're losing all that, and the usual muscle wasting. So your muscles aren't, you know, as good as they used to be. And the fat gain, you know, you tend to gain that layer of fat because your energy, all these clinical classic signs that you are aging. So, it's not just skin deep.
Yeah, I was using that actually. I probably shouldn't have used that analogy, because I was thinking there are some mornings when I climb out of bed and I just feel old. Like I just climb out of bed and just from the minute I feel old, you know, I feel tired, you know, my body's aching or I've got a pain somewhere and I hear people a lot that make comments that, oh, you know, but when you get to my age, you can't do things like that anymore. And when you get to my age, you can't. But yet there's so many people out there who can still do those things, who are still able to do those things, and they're older. So, you know, I guess the way I was trying to look at it was, anything we put on the inside has to come out of our body somehow. So it tends to come out through either our pores, through our skin, through just as we absorb in, we obviously excrete out, whether it's through sweat or anything like that. So if what you're putting into your body is toxic, I guess what comes out of it, which comes out through obviously your muscles, your joints, your skin, that type of thing, obviously has that effect on the way out as well.
Yeah, well, I suppose in a nutshell, that detoxification and everything, yeah, that's a big part of the picture, which I will cover a bit more detail as well. But I think in general, when we talk about aging, we it's really an interaction between, it's very interesting, but it's interaction between, as you touched on it, your environment, but also your microbiome. So again, the gut health, and then between that and your human genetics. So your genes do play a role. I mean, everyone says I look a lot younger, but you know, that's part of my genetics, but also how I express my genetics. So I could have the same genetics, you know, as same my if I've got a sister, we both have those same genetics, but if we have different lifestyles, we will age differently as well, because again, that's called epigenetics. It's how your lifestyle and your environment impacts on how you express your genes. So again, I feel like this direction between your genetic, the biome, and your environment. Again, the microbiome is huge, because just a reminder, your microbes, you know, you've got 10 times more microbes than your human cells. So, and they come with their own genetic component. So that genetic component is huge as well. That is a part, again, you know, your aging. So to be more specific, it's like, I'm going to go, if someone can tune out if it's a bit too technical, but it's the genetics is like quite interesting. We all know about our own DNA, which is what they call nuclear genetics, which is, we know we've got 23 sets of chromosomes, you know, so and they paired off, like, you know, the double helix. Now the mitochondria was on genetics as well. It's called the mitochondrial DNA. Now that again is now actually more linked, all the recent studies that linked to your actual mitochondrial health. So is that mitochondrial genetics, and then we look at the microbiome genetics as well. So if you look at that, a lot more powerful things at play, you know, that are beyond our normal of just thinking of, you know, you just your and all of these interact with your environment, your diet, and your lifestyle. So the very good news is the microbiome. So as I talked before about how what you feed it, how much stress, how you deal with stress, all that affects your microbiome. It's actually plastic. By plastic, the plasticity of it just means that it can be changed easily. So that's good news. Because it can be changed easily by your diet and lifestyle, it can make a huge impact. So again, we're pointing to this big area of gut health. and then if that again, you know, affects your mitochondrial health. Yeah. So I'll just leave it at that for now and just see whether you want me to, you know, explain a little bit more, Susan, because it's a bit specific, it's a bit technical when you talk about the genes and that, but is it sort of something I need to explain a bit more?
Yeah, you could do. If you could explain that a little bit more to us, that would be great.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about probably before I go into the genetics part of it, I'd like to touch on oxidative stress. You've probably all heard about oxidation and that by, you know, if you look at an apple, if you cut an apple in half and you expose the surface to the air and it goes brown, well, that's what oxidation is. So your cells are no different in that they can be exposed to oxidative processes. So oxidative stress is when there's not enough antioxidants in your system to create a balance with what's called the reactive oxygen species, so short ROS. Now, the oxidative stress is like rust forming in your body. So this actually speeds up your aging and then leads to disease for your diseases and disease. So, but talking about the mitochondria, to be more specific about the actual oxidative stress, it is the oxidative stress in the mitochondria. The mitochondria is basically part of the source of the cell. You've got a cell, and if you all remember your biochemistry, you've got a cell or your biology, you've got your cell and you've got your nucleus. Now your DNA is in what they call nuclear DNA, is in that nucleus, but your mitochondrial DNA is in the tiny little mitochondria that's part of the cell, but not in the nucleus, you know? So, I mean, it's hard to explain in words, but it's probably easier to see in a picture form. But when you've got oxidative stress in the mitochondria, that's where aging is actually more, a lot of the stress is relating to that. So, if you understand what the power source of your cell, so if you think about the mitochondria is what makes energy, it makes ATP, which is energy. When it does that, it releases an electron, then this electron is to be locked up, and then usually the mitochondria, healthy mitochondria, does all that. It releases that, it locks it up, it makes sure that everything is all in a balance. So when you don't look up your body in and the mitochondria starts to fail, that's all the. So I suppose the mitochondria, we'll go a bit into how we're going to do all that, which we've covered in previous podcasts. But essentially, it is, you want to look at mitochondria. Now, I'm going to go a little bit more into the biochemistry again. You can fast forward if you don't want to go in, if it gets too much for you, or if you're interested, you know, do a bit more research because it's really, really interesting area. So in your, what do with your mitochondria, there is for PGC1-alpha. If you remember nothing else, remember PGC1-alpha, because this is like the one of the master controllers of your mitochondria. It's a very important controller. So it basically determines a lot of your mitochondria. So it it makes new mitochondria and it improves your mitochondria. So by doing that, it decreases inflammation, it helps with your fat metabolism and your weight loss. So insulin resistance. Does it all sound familiar with anti-aging so far? Helps with your circadian rhythm, so your sleep patterns. Again, a symptom of, you know, aging, that sleep. Blood pressure, cholesterol control, prevent neurodegeneration, so obviously the degeneration of your nerves. And it helps detoxification. And you mentioned that earlier, you know, how your body detoxifies and that. So that's one thing. The other thing is something called glutathione. Now, I was talking about antioxidants before. Now, glutathione is basically called the master antioxidant, because antioxidants depend on your glutathione function as well. So you can have lots of vitamin C and, you know, all the other antioxidants, but if glutathione can't be recycled, so it's really important for glutathione to be recycled. And your mitochondria as well. So yeah, so if you can see now how a lot of this I'm talking about, when I go into detail about your mitochondria, the PGC, your glutathione, how that all shows you, relates so much to when you age, you know, it's very similar, you know, so yeah, so there we go, you know, the technical part is over, but how can we help a mitochondria, our glutathione health? How do we make that all that function better? How do we help it, you know, to be at its peak? I mentioned before when we did the weight loss, I mentioned about the mitochondria. When you've got mitochondria dysfunction, that's when, you know, you've got all those issues with, you know, the pain, the foggy brain, you know, and lack of energy and that sort of thing. So with the mitochondria, one of the best ways to help is, the other one is intermittent fasting. So these are all areas that have been shown to improve your mitochondrial health. Speaking of exercise, I think her name is Wendy Suzuki. She has a really good TED talk on exercise and the plasticity of your brain, so improving the neuron and actually new neurons in your brain. So important is that, you know, it's been when you do exercise, that increase in the prefrontal cortex and your HP and, you know, those areas where our really needed for focus, emotional health, and that improve exercise. And fasting again, that's really the other thing, reducing the amount of fructose that you have. So that is key as well. And talking about that time, the ketogenic diet, but obviously reducing your need for your carbohydrate cycles, but depending on fats, because again, that's a really good source of energy. But also, the ketogenic diet has been linked a lot with brain health, with Alzheimer's, and with also epilepsy, and, you know, so a lot to do with that brain activity. Your energy again, your brain needs so much, you know, and a lot of glucose for energy, but now you know, the fats have been shown to actually give you a much more sustained level and efficient source of when your pathways aren't working really well for your carbs and your protein. So the other thing is for your microbes is I know all of you would like to hear this, especially in this weather, is the cold exposure. So finishing off your shower with a cold shower, I can't say enough about that, because that increases your brown fat cells, which are thermogenic. So it helps, you know, energy. It releases energy, you know, because it's thermogenic. And then eating more healthy fats like avocado, you know, your extra oil, your coconut oil. They're your main ways of improving health. Look, mitochondrial dysfunction is associated with so many things, not just right. But, you know, your chronic fatigue, your people that are fibromyalgia, you know, that fog which a lot of us suffer from. And you're in a lot of pain if you're going through a lot pain issue, so that means your mitochondria is suffering as well. So I'm going on and on again, Susan. So is there anything that you want me to say far?
No, that's okay. So, I mean, that was okay. So looking at it, so I'm just going to summarize what I think you said, or what I heard, and you can tell me if I'm on the right track still. So obviously, again, it's going back to what we thought before, which was cutting out more of the processed foods and that type of thing. Obviously making sure that the foods we have are rich in antioxidants. And obviously fiber and bits and pieces like that. And obviously from listening to what you've said, you know, like we said at the very start, it's amazing how what we take inside or what we ingest on how it affects the outside so much, you know, to learn a few of those bits and pieces and to know that even though the genes do play a big part, in how we age, and we're all going to age. There's no way around that. But knowing that the genes do play a big part in it, but the genes are not the be-all and end-all of it. And there are obviously things that we can do so that we actually feel our age or feel younger, rather than, like I said, some mornings getting out of bed and feeling like I'm 100 and struggling and having, you know, aches and pains and bits and pieces. There's obviously things that can be done so that you actually feel younger on the inside.
Absolutely. Basically, your age on the outside is quite reflective of your age on the inside as well, which is basically, and it's interesting, like, you know, with the antioxidants, speaking about that, remember I mentioned the glutathione being your master antioxidant. So we can take all the antioxidants we like, but if things aren't functioning properly, so your master antioxidant glutathione is needed for your antioxidants to all work properly as well, to be recycled and work properly. So what we want to do is to help the glutathione in our system a lot better is we want to not overuse it where we don't need it and to also increase its production. So you can cut down the overuse of glutathione in your body by making your environment as clean as possible. So if you have water, obviously, you know, that is going to make up use less of your glutathione, because when you have things that are contaminated with a lot of, you know, chemicals and, you know, your cleaning products, your as well as food that you eat, if your environment is not clean, then you are injecting all that, your body's absorbing all that. You need glutathione to, you know, help get rid of it. So that detoxification path and things like that. So we can help our glutathione to do the function meant to do, keeping your cells younger and, you know, and not help you age. You can help by doing all this, you know, so eat good food, the clean food, keep as much pest and, you know, as possible for you to do. And the other thing is managing stress. Again, you know, that stress is important. That actually helps decrease your use of glutathione and getting enough sleep. So that, you know, another key area. But you can also help improve the amount of glutathione by exercise. It doesn't have, don't do full on exercise, because if you push yourself, it creates inflammation and that creates another set of problems. But moderate exercise with Suzuki, she was actually recommending about, she's a neuroscientist, by the way. She actually recommended 3 half-hours a week. So that's, you know, you can get your heart rate up. So again, the intermittent, you know, good, that's also very good. So the other thing is avoiding medications, especially paracetamol. Oh my gosh, you know, we all think it's safe painkiller, but the PGC1 alpha I was talking about, that, well, paracetamol blocks that pathway. So paracetamol can make you fat and gives you, you can help your glutathione by eating food like garlic, onions, all the alums. Again, your cruciferous vegetable family, so your broccoli, your cabbage, your cauliflower, your kale. What is that? You know, all these food, they all help optimize, can make you younger by, you know, having this master antioxidant to be manufactured better, you know, better and more of it. And then the foods, instead of being a supplement, the oxygen-rich plant foods, because it all works synergistically with the glutathione. So, you know, all the colors, like I said, the colors of the rainbow, that the dark colors are really rich in antioxidants. So your beetroot, your purple, all your dark colored vegetables. And the other thing is glycine-rich foods, because glycine is another important amino acid. So your gelatin, the collagen, so your bone broth. So that's it, you know, to your lifestyle again, so your by your exercise and getting enough sleep and managing meditation, and then your environment, so all the environment toxins mentioned before, so try and, you know, clean up environment as much as possible, what you eat and what you use on the skin. And your food, your diet, the types of food. So again, all your fiber, colors of the rainbow, you know, all those lovely, lovely food, and, you know, avoiding too much medication and that as well. Yeah, so it's actually very complex, but also very simple.
So to everyone out there listening, I actually had a conversation with Geraldine last time we had a podcast, and I got to that point, I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask. Because we've had all these conversations about gut health and everything else. And I've actually met Geraldine in person. I think we've only met once in person, but obviously we've had quite a few phone calls and Zoom calls and everything else. So I've seen her face quite a lot. So it got to the point I had to ask how old she was. And my guess of how old she was roughly 25 years younger than what she actually is. So for those of you that are wondering if this stuff works... It definitely works when you look at her, and you can see, and it's not just like her skin tone. Like for me, when I first met her, it wasn't just her skin tone. It was also a bit of a glow that she has around her. She looks vibrant. She looks, and the only time I think I didn't see you look like that was when you were full of the flu, and just even then she still looked good. So I guess we're spending so much money, and, you know, people's cupboards are filled with this stuff, and not only, you know, are we sticking a cream or whatever it is we're sticking on our face or whatever we're buying? Not only is it costing a fortune and it's a rot, at the same point in time, it's filled with so many things that are actually doing the opposite of what we want them to do. So I'm buying a cream that I want will tighten my skin and make me look 15 years younger in 10 days, and it's filled with all these great Q10 and, you know, this, and it's got that in it and all these things. I have no idea what they are. So I buy this cream, I stick it on and I stick it on and I stick it on. Unbeknownst to me, if I actually look onto the side of it and see what's actually in the cream, in the very fine print, there's all these chemicals and stuff in there which makes it smell pretty or makes my skin feel soft for the time, whatever it's going to be, that are actually causing more harm. So I'm actually... it's costing me money to buy this stuff to then, and I usually have a reaction to them anyway, so I don't buy them. But, you know, I know so many people that buy the latest. There was dragon's blood at one stage. I mean, I'm not sure where they got a dragon from. And there's been so many different types. I think there was actually a bull semen moisturizer at one stage, which was supposed to be so good for the fine lines. It was supposed to, you know, plump your skin out and do all these things. You know, it's amazing the stuff that's actually out in the market. But when you look at it, you're actually causing more harm than good. So if you actually just spent that time and that money, it actually doesn't cost you any more money to actually eat healthy. It's actually cheaper than if you were to go and buy junk food and everything else. But if you're actually to go and buy the healthy food and actually put that into your body, not only are you going to look better on the outside, but you're going to feel better on the inside, obviously.
Absolutely. I'm not, you know, putting products, because, you know, you do still need to think of it. If you use products and they agree with you, and they're not got toxic, you know, like obviously make sure you don't have all the parabens and all those things that we know are endocrine disruptors and things like that, that they do put, you know, in skincare. If you don't have, make sure you do all that, but if you find a product that's free of all those toxins, but, you know, it feels good on your skin and makes your skin feel good, you know, that's all good. But just remember that, you know, all these things that on the surface are like band-aids, but that's fine. We still need them. So, you know, when you have, and like this, in the same tone, I, you know, I'm not against people taking medications when they have to, but I do advise that all these things are stopped. They just do use at that time, but you still got to go and address the underlying issue. So while you're doing that, it's look at it as a temporary day, because it makes you, you know, high levels, all those sort of health issues, aging. If, you know, if you feel that, you know, your skin looking so bad really just makes you so, feel so bad that you want to make it look better, we'll do it. But remember that, you know, you still need to work at the underlying issues. You still need to work all those things so that you are actually, you know, on a better health rather than just constantly use Band-Aids. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, you've got to always keep learning and keep working your poor health.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Geraldine. For anyone who's been listening to the podcast, I will talk to Geraldine when we get off because I just had an idea for the next one. But for anyone that's been listening to it and is listening to gut health and you've been following the podcast and you're still a little bit, I'm not quite 100% sure where to start or what to do, the link to the website is actually on the podcast here, and it also is on the post. So click on the link, the Foodie Pharmacist, the website, go onto the website and have a look. Geraldine also has her first book out, which you can go and have a look at. And like I said, the stuff that's actually in there, some people are really good at listening. Some people need to rehear things or read a bit, think about it, come back. The book is perfect for that, and so is the website. So, or if you have any questions and you're not 100% sure, reach out to Geraldine and ask the question. She'll be able to point you in the right direction to get you started. But I think after the series of, I think we've had four or five, you know, podcasts now, I think we're all learning very quickly the importance, and I'll be the first one to put my hand up and say that I didn't know. I had heard about gut health. I had heard so much about it, but I wasn't sure if it was one of those fad things that was going to come in and die out like everything else sort of has over the years. So I hadn't really looked into it much, and I totally will be the first to admit I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how important it is and how much it impacts our lives and everything basically that we're doing in our health, in our brain, in our body, in everything that we do. Our gut health is just so, so important. So thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about aging today.
My pleasure, Susan. I'd just like to sort of quickly say as well, on my website, you can download a printable foodie pyramid. So I've got a food pyramid that's quite different to your traditional food pyramid. So it highlights, you know, to help people, especially with inflammation. So if you've got any autoimmune diseases or any gut inflammation, my food pyramid does help guide you into the types of food you should be eating. And also I'm available for free advice at any time, but mainly if you want to come and see me as well, I'm working 3.5 days a week at Golden Bay Pharmacy. So that's on a Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday and Saturday. So, you know, as a pharmacist in there, I do a lot of integrative health. So if you find, you know, you want to get a bit more advice, come in anytime. I'm there to help because I also run workshops there at a very, very minimal price. So it's accessible for most people. So I'm happy to help. That's what I love doing. You know, I make sure that you know you can get help easily. So being at the pharmacy to me was one of the best ways of being really accessible. So yeah, anytime, give me a call. Okay.
Thank you very much again, Geraldine, and we will talk to you on the next podcast.
See you.